In the 31st century, no one is allowed to live past their 70th birthday. Old age activists are starting to take drastic measures to try and change things. Meanwhile, our hero George is 69, but he's struggling to get anyone to believe him.
Citizens past, customers future. My name is George Smith.
George Smith, happy birthday from Central Administration. Today you are 70. Kindly report to the age police before midnight in order to take your paradise pill.
George Smith, time's up, old man.
I don't mind dying at 70. I believe in paradise, but I've still got another year to go. Central Admin has made a mistake.
George Smith, this was your life.
Paradise Lost in Cyberspace by Collins Lodge.
Okay, George, honey, what's happening now is what we in TV call the ad break. And what we do now is we whisk you back to the studio and wait for the ad break to end.
Miss Random, there's been a mistake.
Don't interrupt, honey, I'm mid-spiel. After the ad break, we film you meeting up with all your old buddies for a final farewell before
I'm sorry, Miss Random,
pretty,
but you...
please! You say a final farewell, then you pop the paradise pill into your mouth while we roll the credits. And I promise you, not even the closing theme tune will wake you up.
Miss Random, I am not 70.
What? He's right, Miss Random, he's 69.
My date of death is next year, not now.
That is silly.
Is there a producer we could talk to?
Sure, but we don't make mistakes. Dave!
Be right with you, Wilma Fee.
Dave was down the other end of the car, a huge stretch limo that was stretched both ways, so not only could he watch TV, but you could watch it standing up.
How do you do? I'm Dave Lusterhausen.
I'm Doris, and this is George.
Yes, tonight's stiff.
I beg your pardon.
Nice to meet you.
He says he's not 70.
I am 69.
Just nerves, George. How about coming down to hospitality for a couple of sedatives? Oh, hold up there. Turn up the volume, will you, Flowers?
Very good, sir.
We interrupt that rather nice perfume ad for a news flash. All railway services into the capital have been brought to a complete standstill by a terrorist incident perpetrated by the OAPs. Speaking from a call box, the leader of the old age paramilitaries, Mrs. Cookson, admitted that they were responsible for laying medium-sized quantities of wet leaves on all train routes.
Of course, we apologise if any innocent bystanders have been hurt. We don't want to hurt anybody. Brains before brawn, that's our motto. And old age for all, that's another one. And, oh, my money's running out.
Hey, easy, Flowers, what's going on up there?
Sorry, sir, the car park barrier suddenly come down again. I'll just have a word with security.
What was that last bit?
Sir, I've just been pistol whipped and I'm now losing consciousness.
All right, everybody lie flat down on the floor!
Except you, Miss Random.
Well, I wasn't going to ask for special treatment, but thank you for the recognition. We all appreciate it, however much some may deny it.
You're coming with us.
No!
Now, just who do you think you are? No!
We're the OAPs!
I'm not coming! Help! No!
Then you die here, it's your choice.
I'm coming, just don't touch my face or any other bit.
Go on, sweetheart, let's go.
No! All right!
I've got to call the production office. Hello, Sylvia. Now listen, and listen hard. Wilma P's just been kidnapped by the OAPs, so just drop what you're doing and tell me. What's her insurance situation?
Doris and I looked at each other and without a doubt thought the same thing, that we could make a run for it anyway. We opened the door to find the car already surrounded by police and TV security men.
All right, sir, madam. Which show are you in?
This was your life.
Are you on the guest list?
I doubt it.
They're with me. Take them up to the green room.
Oh, very good, Mr. Lusterhausen, sir. Here you go, sir, madam, if you just put these stickers on.
Thank you.
Following the explosion of mulch that hit the capital's rail network in the day, this kidnapping represents a terrifying escalation of violence. This is the BBC, round-the-clock news to a bossa nova beat. You're listening to Newsack.
So This Was Your Life green room was packed to the rafters with familiar faces from my past, none of whom I wanted to see.
Hello, George.
Mike, hello.
Mark.
Mark, hello.
Hello there. Just like old times, eh?
Yes, in a way, I suppose it is.
We never had much to say to each other, did we?
No, Mark, we didn't.
Would you excuse me?
George! There you are. Here, take a drink. I'm really sorry to have to tell you this. Believe me, I am furious. But we've got to cancel your show.
Sure, fine, no problem.
We've offered to go ahead with a stand-in presenter, but PTB News have decided to stay live with a kidnap story.
So George is off the hook?
He's off the air, Doris. Whether you're off the hook or not depends on your age, George. But heck, if you are 70, then why not just stay and enjoy the party?
Thank you.
Well, cheers, George.
Doris, what's that under your arm?
Oh, yes. I better hand it in to the authorities. It's a newspaper dropped by one of the OAPs.
Well, let's see.
George, that could be evidence.
33 E. John Street. They had the paper delivered.
East John Street? Where's that?
Never heard of it.
Could it be the OAP headquarters?
Maybe. Maybe they can help.
Help what?
Doris, it's like that producer said, I'm not off the hook yet.
George, hello. Is it true they're going to cancel?
Dr. O'Connell, what are you doing here?
I was going to read out extracts from your medical records.
On TV?
Oh, just the usual stuff. How you were much like any other teenager, keen to experiment with plastic surgery, trying out extra ears, fingers and... of course, sexual organs.
Wait a minute. How long have you known I was going to be on This Was Your Life?
Let's see. I think they first phoned about 4 weeks ago.
But I saw you this morning. We talked about Central Admin's mistake. You checked my age for me.
Yes.
And yet you didn't warn me that I was going to be on This Was Your Life.
Sorry, old boy. We were all sworn to secrecy.
Doctor, would you excuse us?
Of course. Tell you why.
George, you're right. You should go.
Good. Let's get out of here.
No, you go. I'm staying. I'm going to sort out all this muddle over your date of death, once and for all. It should be simple for me to clear up, but it could be dangerous for you.
Joe Smith!
The age cops. Now go.
Joe Smith!
Not a second too soon, I slipped through a large door at the back and suddenly all was dark. Blindly, I reached out and touched what felt like a heavy velvet curtain. Then, seeing a chink of light, I stepped through. Onto the set of This Was Your Life. I have to admit, the reception I got was quite moving. With a fixed smile, I walked a casual showbiz stroll across the set, then gave a little wave before disappearing through a black cloth on the other side.
Nice crowd.
A laser shot ripped into the curtain above my head. Through the fire exit, I found myself outside in the underground car park, row upon row of empty limousines gleaming beneath the artificial light. Then, my heart leapt. The biker's face was obscured by a crash helmet, but there was no mistaking the yellow polka dot bikini and half dozen automatic and semi-automatic laser weapons slung casually over her shoulders. Andrea Sunbeam, bounty hunter.
George Smith? This is your bike.
Andrea Sunbeam has gone. Okay, I'm on.
What's the charge? I've done nothing wrong.
No, Doris, just one or two questions. I want to make this as easy for all of us as possible.
Hope you're not a time waster, Doris. Snivelling creeps without the guts to tell the truth. You make me want to hurl.
Oh, I see. I know your game. Nice cop, nasty cop.
We're not all here yet.
So tell me, Doris, what is the capital of Peru?
Lima.
This is Quiz Cop. So, how long have you been working for the OAPs?
Aye, when did you first join that crusty load of self-serving scum, eh?
And the Trout Quintet was written by which 19th century composer?
I've never worked for the OAPs. I've never met any of them. Franz Schubert.
Correct.
Oh, it's terribly hot in here. May I take off my cardigan?
Of course, Doris.
Eh, not so fast. If you're hot, you're hot. But you think I'm doing playing strip poker?
The cardigan was named after the leader of the Charge of the Light Brigade. True or false?
False.
It's true, Doris.
Everyone knows that.
Forensics have had a look at the newspaper we found on a...
Found on me? I gave it to you.
That's your story.
Belt up, woman.
And when they open it, they found this.
Good Lord.
Well, well, well.
It's full of holes.
Correct, Quizcop. Several letters have been cut out of this newspaper. One can only assume in order to glue together onto a ransom note.
We haven't had a ransom note.
Not yet, but by comparing this newspaper with a complete copy, we've been able to deduce which letters have been cut out. Our anagram boys are now attempting to work out what the ransom note will say.
What have they got so far?
This goose is made for licking. Yeah, verily, the wok. R.I.P. Which, admittedly, is not too plausible, but they're working on it round the clock.
So, what's the anagram, Doris?
Oh, yes, if you know, it'd be such a help.
How should I know?
Because your fingerprints are all over the newspaper.
Listen, if George and I had anything to do with the OAPs, we'd have got out of the car and joined the kidnappers, wouldn't we?
You know what, Doris? I believe you.
Yeah, so do I.
You do?
I may be unpleasant, but I'm no stupid.
It would be fair to say that Andrea Sunbeam lived in one of the less fashionable parts of town, which suited her, no doubt, as her bikini and laser guns looked in no way out of the ordinary in the mean streets full of punks, rappers, drug zombies, and some newer trendy types who people my age had yet to learn the word for.
So, welcome to Shea Sunbeam.
Well, thank you.
I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, what a tip.
No, no.
You're lying, George, I can tell.
Actually, no, I'm thinking, could I phone Doris from here, as well as what a tip?
You've already tried her twice, George. Leave it. She'll be okay. Besides, I'm not having the age cops tracing it back to here.
Oh, okay.
You really love her, don't you?
Yes. Yes, I suppose I do.
Want some cold baked beans?
Wouldn't mind some hot.
Me neither, but the cooker's packed in. So, tell me, what did they look like?
Who?
The kidnappers, George. Why do you think I rescued you? For the buzz of it? Okay, it was partly for the buzz. I enjoy my work. But I want to lead, George. If I can get to them before the age police, if I can get Wilma P. Random back, that is going to be one hell of a bounty.
I'm sorry, Andrea, and I'm very grateful to you for rescuing me, but I'm not sure I want to help.
Whose side are you on then, George? The OAPs?
No one's.
Oh, yeah. Very Bogart. Very Casablanca. Very stupid. You better make your mind up sooner or later. Wait a minute. What's that on your jacket? Looks like blood.
Blood? Ugh!
Are you okay?
Oh, yes, it's not mine. One of the kidnappers shot at the producer.
Shot him? They used violence?
Sure, and the driver was knocked unconscious, pistol whip.
Oh, I can't imagine Mrs. Cookson would approve.
She wasn't there.
Yeah, but brains before brawn, I don't think.
You mean it wasn't the OAPs?
You sure you got no more clues for me?
One of them dropped his newspaper. He'd had it delivered. This is their address. 34 East John Street.
Mm. East John Street? No such place. May I?
Sure.
Oh. 34 Elton John Street. Nice neighborhood. Okay. Let's go.
What, now?
Why wait?
You decided? Just like that? Andrea, you should be in management.
I once did an evening class in corporate accounting, but, you know, in the end, there just wasn't enough weaponry.
As soon as the age cops had released me, I marched up to Dave Lusterhausen's office. Lusterhausen was on the phone, sat at his executive desk, his arm in an executive sling.
That's what it says on the ransom note, Jerry. They want 100 million before midnight. Of course it's crazy. Well, Jerry, of course I feel bad for her, but I've got the contract in front of me, and I do not see the word kidnap anywhere. And nor do I see any kind of reference to ransom payments. Unless, of course, we're talking about her performance fee. No, it's not an old wound. Whoa, Jerry, let's not start trading insults here. Jerry, that's not nice, and you're going to feel very bad about that when you wake up tomorrow morning. No, no, you call me when you've got a solution. Doris, hello, forgive me. Where's George?
I don't know. But he is definitely 69 years old, and I want you to do everything in your power to follow that up.
Yeah, yeah, we know he's 69 now. Central admin have just told us. And the age police.
Really?
Some kind of computer snarl up this thing.
Oh, I'm so happy.
And so, of course, your first thought is to get an army of lawyers onto suing me for emotional damages. And I understand, better than you think, how people like you operate. Which is why I suggest you accept this large cheque and sign this small waiver.
Okay, I accept.
You haven't looked at it.
that, we could have paid you less.
I want one more clause in the contract.
Now, listen, lady, this is a very generous offer, and there is a point where any claim for damages can provoke a counterclaim for extortion. You catch my drift?
I want my own TV series.
Okay, lady, off to the funny farm.
This is the format.
Let's make a pilot.
Beneath the flash of passing streetlights, I could see the goosebumps on her olive thighs. With my arms round her waist, I tried manfully not to make skin-to-skin contact with her bare midriff.
Next time, mister, keep your eyes off my spare tire.
Well, I'm sorry, I was just...
Shh, shh, shh. Elton John Street certainly was a nice neighbourhood, but the lights were out at number 34, except for a small glimmer coming from the back. Laser gun cocked. Andrea crept round coolly. I followed, petrified.
Look, they're in the kitchen.
Through the half-drawn blinds, we could see them. Three men, no longer in balaclavas, standing around Wilma P. Random, who was tied to a kitchen chair. One of them was holding a laser gun to her head.
Sorry, sweetheart. It's midnight.
You can't do this to me! I'm beautiful!
I've been longing to say this. Wilma P. Random, this was your power.
I'd not even noticed Andrea Sunbeam lying down at the kitchen door and poking her laser gun through the cat flap. But within 3 seconds, three men were dead, and in the middle of them, Wilma P. Random was still sitting with her eyes tight shut.
Wilma P. Random?
Yes?
Andrea Sunbeam, bounty hunter.
Can I open my eyes?
Sure.
They're dead.
Yeah.
Good.
No IDs by the look of it. Hardly surprising, but...
Are they OAPs?
That rather depends on whether or not they have a youth wing.
George, I thought I recognized you.
Hi.
Haven't we got a show to do?
Not tonight, Wilma P. I'm taking you back and picking up my reward.
There's a reward?
Why does everyone think I do my job for nothing?
How much?
I don't know exactly,
okay,
but...
Okay, what's my cut?
Your cut? I've just saved your life.
Whoa. Let's just run through the scenario without Wilma P. Random, shall we? You walk into the police station on your own. How big's your reward then? Now, you might get away with 100% rewards with some other dumb schmucks, but I know my worth, and if you've got a phone, I'd like to speak to my agent.
Wilma P., I do have a phone, but I think on balance I'd rather just kill you and say I got here one tiny second too late. Or you can get on my bike. Your choice.
Where are you parked?
It's so depressing when people only respond to the threat of violence.
Hold on tight, Wilma P. Sorry there's no more room, George. Still, there's a night bus due any minute. See you back at base!
What in the name of paradise possessed me to turn round and go back into that house? A phone call to Doris was my first thought. Then, at the kitchen door, I heard the radio left on in the front room. Out of it was pouring the usual flood of Muzak, washing emptily through the brains of its listeners. Switching it off was always a satisfying experience.
And the OAPs have denied responsibility for the brutal kidnapping of TV host Wilma P. Random. Though they would, wouldn't they? Miss Random's whereabouts are still unknown after...
Not for long.
Oh!
Being hit on the head always looks relatively painless in the movies, but take it from me, it bloody hurts. I don't know how long I was out for, but the pain of that initial blow throbbed through the back of my head through the blackness hour upon hour, maybe day upon day, until finally I awoke to find myself staring into a pair of very familiar eyes.
Hello, George.
Dr. O'Connell?
How's the head?
Someone hit me.
Yes, someone did. Sorry about that. I think it was a reaction to seeing three of his colleagues dispatched with a laser gun by your friend, Miss Sunbeam.
Where are we?
Oh, excellent question, George. So many people regaining consciousness only say, where am I? So self-centered. We are, I'm afraid to say, in a rather unpleasant room. A torture chamber, you could say. Now, don't struggle, George. You'll find the straps will start to chafe, as they've been designed to. This is the room of ultimate terror, George. The room that holds for every individual the stuff of their own very worst nightmares. The dreaded room 5.
I thought it was room 101.
It is, in binary. But what self-respecting torturer wants to work out all those columns of units, twos, and two to the power of twos, when he could be getting on and hurting people?
You work for the OAPs? I demand to see Mrs. Cookson.
Now, why should I work for the OAPs, George?
Well, who then?
I'm here to help you, George. You seem to have landed yourself in a bit of a pickle. All the pain stuff's out of my control, I'm afraid. But I'm always here for a chat, George, in a counselling capacity.
What do you want from me?
Where shall we begin? How did you find the kidnapper's house?
I don't know.
Oh, what a rotten start. Do you want another go?
I don't know.
Shame. Tatty, bye.
Room 5, a video presentation.
Whilst here in room 5, you will find yourself submitted to any or all of the following images. Those of a sensitive disposition won't last long.
No! What did I say?
Papa? 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 Papa?
We would like to ensure that your stay here is as unpleasant as possible. If at the end of your stay you have any comments or suggestions, please write them on one of the walls provided, using your own excrement. Thank you.
The days passed. Pages on calendars flicked over, one day after another, day after day after day, like in one of those films where people get hit on the head. No provisions were brought to me. And yet, since the opening video presentation, no torture had been inflicted on me either, other than regular bouts of stomach cramp.
George, I've come to let you go.
That's not very scary.
It's not meant to be. You're free to go.
Really? In that case, I wanted to tell you the address. I tore it off a newspaper.
Oh, we knew that. We're not after information here, George. We're after obedience. That's what torture's all about. Obedience. And sadism, obviously.
How long have I been here?
14 days. We could have let you go yesterday, but that would have been unlucky. Oh, and you've got a press conference. Here's your script. I'm sure you won't let us down.
Well, aren't you coming?
No, these boys will look after you now. Don't worry, they know you're not 70.
Hello there. I had your fiancée in the sales the other week. Charming woman.
Ah, she was a slag.
The cardigan, the balaclava, and what other item of clothing took their names from the Crimean War?
Oh, and George, let's just forget any of this ever happened. You've got a good whole year ahead of you. Enjoy it, George. It may be all we've got.
What?
No. I'll have to tell you, it was the thong.
Gentlemen of the press, I have a statement here which I'd like to read. During the rescue, the Oaks, the OAPs, knocked me out and left me for dead. I've been wandering the streets in a daze, sleeping tough, until turning up at the Age police station early this morning. Death to Mrs. Cookson and all her murderous cronies, thank you. I'm sorry, no questions.
Not even from me, George.
Miss Sunbeam, you have a question?
Yeah. Would you care to join me for a beer?
Andrea led me to the nearest bar, the Roy of the Rovers Return. It was a theme pub based on popular characters from children's comics, with waiters dressed up as Roy himself, Dennis the Menace, Beryl the Peril, and Schizoid, the mind-detecting parrot.
Cheers.
Cheers.
So, remind me, who was it hit you on the head?
Well,
the OAPs, was it?
Well, it might have been.
Let's watch some telly, shall we?
On every table was a small TV video combination. Andrea ejected the Wallace and Gromit tape and replaced it with one from her combat bag.
It's a news report after I'd rescued the bitch.
And I guess if it weren't for me, then perhaps Miss Sunbeam might not be alive to tell the tale. Thank you.
Police arrived at the scene of Miss Random's sensational escape to find sheer laser gun carnage. Some viewers will find these pictures upsetting, others will get a real kick out of them.
There, George. Look at the bodies.
They're dead.
They're old, George. As you say, it must have been the OAPs, mustn't it?
They've switched the bodies. Those aren't the ones you killed.
The kidnappers I wasted were far younger, weren't they? As far as I can see, this whole kidnap was a propaganda plan to blacken the OAP's reputation.
And they were even prepared to kill Wilma P. to achieve it?
No, I guess that was just a bonus. So, are you going to tell me where you've really been?
The age cops got me. They put me in room 5.
Room 5?
Yeah, and the strangest thing...
No, slow down, George. Room 5 is not the age cops. No, you've gone far higher than that.
There's another arm of the security services?
There is, George. MI-101.
MI-101?
The spooks, the spies, the secret police. Oh, so it was MI-101 who refused to correct your age. This was your life had to go ahead or there'd be no kidnap.
Charming.
No, it was nothing personal, George. You just threatened to mess up a top operation.
And then you messed it up.
Big time. Only got 10% of the ransom, too.
10%?
Oh, yeah, that Jerry's a tough agent.
In dire need of rest, I left Andrea in the pub watching The Wrong Trousers.
Hello, I'm Doris Smith, and you're fully clothed. Please leave a message after the beep.
Doris, it's George. What on earth is that message supposed to mean?
Hover cab, Mr. Smith?
Oh, yes, please. Thanks. 121 Titchmarsh Gardens.
Mind if I keep the music on?
Not at all. What music?
It's John Cage. 4 minutes, 33 seconds. Oh, I can turn it down if you like, Mr. Smith.
No, it's... Wait, just a minute. How do you know my name?
I saw you on the telly just now. You was denouncing us.
No, I said nothing about cabbies. No, I like cabbies. Diamond geezers, all.
The OAPs, Mr. Smith.
What? Where are you taking me?
As you can see, the doors remain locked while the red light is on.
All around me, extra panes of mirrored glass were rising to block my view through the windows. The last pane to rise was by the driver's partition.
Can't tell you where we're going, but Mrs. Cookson would like a word.
Mrs. Cookson?
Don't look so worried, mate. I've stopped the meter.
Paradise Lost in Cyberspace was written by Colin Walsh and starred Stephen Moore with Patsy Byrne. Also, Lorelei Kenny, Jeff McGivern, Melanie Hudson, Chris Douglas, Peter Serafinovich, and Lewis McLeod. The producer was Richard Wilson.